Incense anthem. Incense has just begun to burn in the censer, permeating the entire Dhamma realm. My mind is full with sincerity and respect. May the Buddha's compassionately be my witness. Homage to Wirakana Buddha, Lord of the Brahmanet. In opening the sutra, the Dhamma, incomparably profound and exquisite, is rarely met with even in hundreds of thousands of millions of eons. I am now able to see, listen, accept, and hold it. I vow to understand the true meaning of the Tathagata's wonderful teachings. Homage to our teacher, Sakyamuni Buddha. Assembly of precepts holders, please listen attentively. I take refuge in the Wirakana Buddha. I take refuge in the Diamond Buddha of the Ten Directions. I bow to the Buddhist Dhamma Maitreya, who will descend to earth and become a Buddha. I shall now recite the three root precepts. All Buddhist Dhammas should pay heed. The precepts are a light shining brightly, dispelling the darkness of the night. The precepts are a precious mirror, clearly reflecting one and all. The precepts are a wish-fulfilling gem, showering treasures upon the destituted. To escape suffering and attain Buddhahood swiftly, these precepts are the supreme way. Therefore, Buddhist Dhammas should keep them steadfastly. Most virtuous one, it is now springtime. 4 months make a season. Half a month has elapsed. Less 1 night, 3.5 months remain. Old age and death weigh upon us. The Dharma will soon disappear, most virtuous one. To attain enlightenment, practice diligently and single-mindedly. By practicing diligently and single-mindedly, all the Buddhas attain supreme perfect enlightenment, not to mention other virtues. Seek the Dharma diligently while young and healthy. How can you fail to seek the way and unguarded let old age overtake you? What pleasures are you still awaiting? The day is done. Life dwindles with it. For fish stranded in shallow water, what joy is there? In the Sangha assembled. Is the Sangha united and harmonious?
Yes, it is. It is united and harmonious.
Why is the Sangha gathered?
To save the Buddha and be saved.
Have those who have not taken the precepts and those who are not pure left this assembly?
In this assembly, there are no one who has taken the precepts and no one who is not pure.
How many are there of pure mind who wish to attend but cannot have and ask others to represent them?
In this assembly, there is no one of pure mind who wishes to attend but cannot and is represented by another.
Most virtuous one, join the palms together and listen attentively. I am now about to recite the preambles to the great precepts of the Buddha. Most virtuous one, be silent and attentive. In this assembly, those who are aware that they have transgressed should repent. With repentance, peace of mind is restored. Without repentance, the transgression will become heavier. Those who have not transgressed may remain silent. By your silence, I know that you are pure. Most virtuous one, listen attentively in the Dharma ending age, followed by the dismiss of the Buddha. We should revertingly keep the Pramatoksa. The Pramatoksa is none other than these precepts. Those who keep the precepts are little wanderings in the dark stumblings upon a light, like the destituent coming upon a treasure, like the sick finding cure, like prisoners set free, like wanderers discovering the way home. Let it be understood that the precepts are a worthy teacher to us all, as though the Buddha were still here among us. If we do not fear transgression, it is difficult to develop a wholesome mind. Therefore, the sutra contains these teachings. Do not regard minor misdeed inconsequential in time. Drops of water may fill a large vessel. Offense committed in a moment may result in an eon of suffering in the hells. Once the human state is lost, it may not be regained by the myriads of lifetimes. Youth is like a galloping horse. Our life is more fleeting than the water of the mountain streams. Today we are alive, tomorrow who knows. Let each of us practice diligently and single-mindedly. Do not be lax. Guard against laziness. Do not indulge in rest and sleep during the night. Single-mindedly recite the Buddha's name and meditate. You should never, while any time, cause deep regret in the future. Members of the assembly, keep these precepts single-mindedly and respectfully. Study them and cultivate in accordance with the Dharma. Most virtuous one, today is the 15th day of the month. The moon is full. We are holding upon the Upasatha service, reciting the Buddhistava precepts. Members of this assembly should listen attentively. Whoever has transgressed, confess now. Otherwise, remain silent. By your silence, I know in this assembly is pure and may recite precepts. Now that I have finished the preamble of the Buddhistava precepts, I ask you once more, members of the assembly, are you pure? Members of the assembly, by your silence, I know that you are pure. This is something of which you should be all aware. Homage of the Brahmanette Assembly of Buddhistava and Buddhas. Homage of the Brahmanette Assembly of the Buddhistava and Buddhas. Homage of the Brahmanette Assembly of Buddhistava and Buddhas. The Buddha speaks. The Brahmanette Sutras. Buddhistava. Wirakana Buddha. At the time Wirakana Buddha began speaking in the general about the mind ground and the benefit of the Great Assembly, what he said represents but an infinitesimal part, the tip of a hair of his innumerable teachings as numerous as the grains of sand in the rivers Ganges. He concluded, the mind ground has been explained, is being explained, and will be explained by all the Buddhas, past, present, and future. It is also the Dharma door that all the Buddhistavas of the present, past, and future have studied, are studying, and will study. I have cultivated this mind ground Dharma Buddha door for hundreds of eons. My name is Wirakana. I request all Buddhas to transmit my words to all sentient beings so as to open this path of cultivation to all. At that time, from his lion throne of the lotus treasury world, Wirakana Buddha emitted rays of light. A voice among the rays is heard telling the Buddha seated of thousands of lotus petals, you should practice and uphold the mind ground Dharma door and transmit it to the innumerable Sakyamuni Buddhas, one after another, as well as to all sentient beings. Everyone should uphold, read, recite, and single-mindedly put its teachings into practice. After receiving the Dharma door of the mind ground, Buddha seated up atop the thousands of lotus flowers along the innumerable Sakyamuni Buddhas all arose from their lion seats, their bodies emitting innumerable rays of light. In each of these rays appeared innumerable Buddhas who simultaneously made offerings of green, yellow, red, and white sensual flowers of the Wirakana Buddha. They then slowly took their leave. The Buddha then disappeared from the lotus treasury world, entered the essence, nature, and feet, space, floral brilliance, samadhi, and returned to their formal place under the Bodhi tree in this world of Jambuvipa. They then arose there from their samadhi, sat on the diamond throne of the Jambadeva and the heaven of the four kings, and preached the Dharma as 10 oceans of world. Thereupon, they ascended to Lord Sakya's palace and expounded the twin dwellings, proceeded to the Suvima heaven and taught the 10 practices, proceeded further to the fourth heaven and taught the 10 dedications, proceeded further to the transformations of bliss heaven and taught the 10 dhyanas samadhi, proceeded further to the heaven of comfort from others, emanations, and taught the 10 grounds, proceeded further to the first dhyana heaven and taught the 10 Vara stages. Proceeded further to the second dhyana heaven and taught the 10 patience. And proceeded further to the third dhyana heaven and taught the 10 vows. Finally, in the fourth dhyana heaven, at Lord Brahma's palace, they taught the mind ground Dharma door chapter with the Wirakana Buddha in eons past, expounded in the lotus treasury world. Sakyamuni Buddha. At that time, Sakyamuni Buddha, after first appearing in the lotus treasury world, proceeded to the east and appeared in the heavenly king's palace to teach the demon transforming sutra. He then descended to the Jambudvipa, to the board in the Kapha Vastu, his name being Siddhartha, and his father named Sadana. His mother was Queen Maya. He achieved enlightenment at the age of 30 after 7 years of cultivation under the name of Sakyamuni Buddha. The Buddha spoke in 10 assemblies from the diamond seat to the Bodhgaya to the palace of Brahma. At that time, he contemplated the wonderful jewel net hung in Lord Brahma's palace and preached the Brahma Net Sutra for the great assembly. He said, "The innumerable worlds in the cosmos are like the eyes of the net. Each and every world is different, in the variety infinite. So too are the Dhamma doors taught by the Buddha. I have come to this world 8,000 times. Based in this Saha world, seated upon the jeweled diamond seat in the Bodhgaya and all the way up to the palace in the Brahma King, I have spoken in general about the mind ground Dhamma door for the benefit of the great multitude. Therefore, I descend from the Brahma King's palace to Jambudvipa, the human world. I have preached the diamond illuminated jeweled precepts from beneath the Bodhi tree for the sake of all sentient beings on earth, however dull and ignorant they may be. These precepts are customarily recited by the Warakana Buddha when he first developed the Bodhi mind. In the casual stages, they are precisely the original source of all Buddhas and all Bodhisattvas, as well as the seed of the Buddha nature. All sentient beings possess the Buddha nature. All with conscience, form, and mind are encompassed by the precepts of the Buddha nature. Sentient beings possess the correct cause of the Buddha nature, and therefore they will assuredly attain the ever-present Dhamma Buddha. For this reason, the 10 Pramati Moksha precepts came into the world. These precepts belong to the true Dhamma. They are received and upheld in utmost reverence by all sentient beings in the 3 periods of time, past, present, and future. Once again, I shall preach for the great assembly the chapter of the inexhaustible precept treasury. These are the precepts of all sentient beings and the source of pure self-nature. Now I, Warakana Buddha, am sitting atop a lotus pedestal. On 1,000 flowers surrounding me are 1,000 Sakyamuni Buddhas, each flower supported by 100 million worlds. In each world, a Sakyamuni Buddha appears and are seated beneath the Bodhi tree, all simultaneously attaining Buddhahood. All the innumerable Buddhas have a Warakana as their original body. These countless Sakyamuni Buddhas all bring followers along, as numerous as motes of dust. They all proceed to my lotus pedestal to listen to the Buddha's precepts. I now preach the Dhamma, this exquisite nectar. Afterwards, countless Buddhas return to their respective worlds and, under a Bodhi tree, proclaim these majors and minor precepts of Warakana, the original Buddha. The precepts are like the radiant sun and moon, like a shining necklace of gems. Bodhisattvas are numerous as motes of dust. Upheld them and attain Buddhahood. These precepts are recited by Warakana. These precepts I recite as well. You novice Bodhisattvas should reverently accept and uphold them, and once you have done so, transmit and teach them to sentient beings. Now listen attentively as I recite the Bodhisattva Pramoksha, the source of all precepts in the Buddha Dhamma. All of you in the great assembly should firmly believe that you are the Buddhas of the future. While I am a Buddha already accomplished, if you should have such faith at all times, then this precept code is fulfilled. All beings will dissolve, should accept and uphold the Buddha's precepts. Sentient beings, on receiving them, join forth with the ranks of Buddha. They are, in essence, unequal to the Buddhas. They are the true offspring of the Buddhas. Therefore, great assembly, listen with utmost reverence as I proclaim the Buddha's style of moral code. The Buddha reciting the Bodhisattva precepts. At that time, when Sakyamuni Buddha first attained the supreme enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, he explained the Buddhist service precepts. The Buddha taught filial piety towards one's parents, elders, masters, and the Triple Jewel. Filial piety and obedience, he said, are the ultimate path. Filial piety is also called the precepts, and it means restraint and cessation. Assembly consisting of innumerable Buddhist sattvas, the gods of the eight Brahma heavens and the gods of the six desire heavens, and the rulers of the 16 great kingdoms, all join their palms and listen single-mindedly to the Buddha recite the Mahayana precepts. The Buddha then said to the Buddhist sattva, "Twice a month I recite the precepts observed by the Buddha. All Buddhist sattvas from those who have just developed the Bodhi mind of the Buddhist sattva of the 10 dwellings, the 10 practices, the 10 dedications, and the 10 grounds also recite them. Therefore, this precept light shines forth from my mouth. It does not arise without a cause. This light is neither blue, yellow, red, white, nor black. It is neither form nor thought. It is neither existence nor non-existence, neither cause nor effect. This precept light is precisely the original source of all Buddhas and all members of the Great Assembly. Therefore, all you disciples of the Buddha should receive and observe, read, recite, and study these precepts with utmost attention. Disciples of the Buddha, listen attentively. Whoever can understand and accept the Dharma Master's word of transmission can receive the Buddha's Sattva's precepts and be called foremost in purity. This is true whether that person is a king, a prince, an official, a monk, a nun, or a god of the 18 Brahma heavens, a good of the 6 desire heavens, or human, an emuk, a eunuch, a libertine, a prostitute, a slave, or a member of the 8 divisions of divinities, avara, spirit, an animal, or even a transformation being. The 10 major precepts. The Buddha said to his disciples, there are 10 major Buddhistava precepts. If one receives the precept but fails to recite them, he is not a Buddhistava, nor is he a seed of the Buddhahood. I too recite these precepts. All Buddhistavas have studied them in the past, will study in the future, and are studying them now. I have explained the main characteristics of the Buddhistava precepts. You should study and observe them with all your heart, the Buddha continued. First major precepts on killing. A disciple of the Buddha shall not himself kill. Encourage others to kill. Kill by expedient means. Praise killing. Rejoice at witnessing killing. Or kill through incantations or divine mantras. He must not create the cause, conditions, method, or karma of killing. And shall not intentionally kill any living thing. As a Buddhist disciple, he ought to nature a mind of compassion and feel piety as devising expedient means to rescue and protect all beings. If instead he fails to restrain himself and kill sentient beings without mercy, he commits a paradika offense. Second major precept on stealing. A disciple of the Buddha must not himself steal or encourage others to steal. Steal by expedient means. Steal by means of incantation or deviant mantras. He should not create the cause, conditions, methods, or karma of killing. No valuables or possessions, even those belonging to ghosts and spirits or thieves and robbers, be they as small as a needle or blade of grass, may be stolen. As a Buddhist disciple, he ought to have a mind of mercy, compassion, and filial piety, always helping people earn merits and achieve happiness. If instead he steals the possessions of others, he commits a paraka offense. Third major precept on sexual misconduct. A disciple of the Buddha must not encourage a licentious act or encourage others to do so. He should not have sexual relations with any female, but she is a human, animal, deity, or spirit, nor create the cause, conditions, method, or karma of such misconduct. Indeed, he must not engage in improper sexual conduct with anyone. A Buddhist disciple ought to have a mind of filial piety, rescuing all sentient beings and instructing them in the Dharma of purity and chastity. If instead he lacks compassion and encourages others to engage in sexual relations, promiscuously including with animals and even their mother, daughter, sister, or other close relatives, he commits a parajika offense. Fourth major precept on lying and false speech. A disciple of the Buddha must not himself use false words in speech or encourage others to lie or lie by expedient means. He should not involve himself in the causes, conditions, methods, or karmas of lying, saying that he has seen what he has not seen, or vice versa, or lying implicitly through physical or mental means. As a Buddhist disciple, he ought to maintain right speech and right views always, and lead all others to maintain them as well. If instead he causes wrong speech, wrong view, or evil karma in others, he commits a parajika offense. Fifth major precept on stealing alcoholic beverages. A disciple of the Buddha must not trade in alcoholic beverages or encourage others to do so. He should not create the causes, conditions, methods, or karma of selling any intoxicant whatsoever. Intoxicants are the causes of the conditions of all kinds of offenses. As a Buddhist disciple, he ought to help all sentient beings achieve clear wisdom. If instead he causes them to have upside-down, topsy-turvy thinking, he commits a parajika offense. Sixth major precept on broadcasting the faults of the assembly. A disciple of the Buddha must not himself broadcast the misdeeds or infractions of Buddhistava clerics or Buddhistava laypersons, or of monks and nuns, nor encourage others to do so. He must not create the causes, conditions, methods, or karma of discussing the offense of the assembly. As a Buddhist disciple, whenever he hears evil persons, externalists, or followers of the two vehicles, speaks of the practice contrary to the Dharma or contrary to the precepts within the Buddhist community, he should instruct them with a compassionate mind and lead them to develop a wholesome faith in Mahayana. If instead he discusses the faults and misdeeds that occur within the assembly, he commits a parajika offense. Seventh major precept on praising oneself and disparaging others. A disciple of the Buddha shall not praise himself and speak ill of others or encourage others to do so. He may not create the cause, conditions, methods, or karma of the praising himself and disparaging others. As a disciple of the Buddha, he should be willing to stand in for all sentient beings and endure humiliation and slander, accepting blame and letting sentient beings have all the glory. If instead he displays his own virtues and conceals the good points of others, thus causing them to suffer slander, he commits a parajika offense. Eighth major precept on stinginess and abuse. A disciple of the Buddha must not be stingy or encourage others to be stingy. He should not create the cause, conditions, methods, or karma of stinginess. As a Buddhistava, whenever a destitute person comes for help, he should give that person what he needs. If instead, out of anger and resentment, he denies all assistance, refusing to help with even a penny, a needle, a blade of grass, even a single sentence or verse, a phrase of Dharma, but instead scolds and abuses the person, he commits a parajika offense. Ninth major precept on anger and resentment. A disciple of the Buddha shall not harbor anger and encourage others to be angry. He should not create the cause, conditions, or methods of karma of anger. As a disciple of the Buddha, he ought to be compassionate and filial, helping all sentient beings develop the good roots of the non-contentions. If instead he insults and abuses sentient beings or even transformation beings with harsh words, hitting them with his fists or feet, or attacking them with a knife or club, or harboring grudges even when the victim confesses a mistake and humbly seeks forgiveness in a soft, conciliatory voice, the disciple commits a parajika offense. Tenth major precept on slandering the triple jewel. A Buddhist disciple shall not himself speak ill of the triple jewel or encourage others to do so. He may not create the cause, conditions, methods, or karma of slander. If a disciple hears but a single word of slander against the Buddha from the externalists or evil beings, he experiences a pain similar to that of 300 spears piercing his heart. How then can he possibly slander the triple jewel himself? Hence, if a disciple lacks faith and filial piety towards the triple jewel and even assists evil persons or those of aberrant views to slander the triple jewel, he commits a parajika offense. Conclusion, the 10 major precepts. As a disciple of the Buddha, you should study these 10 parajika precepts and not break away one of them in even the slightest way, much less break all of them. Anyone guilty of doing so cannot develop a Bodhi mind in his current life and will lose whatever high position he may have attained, be it of an emperor, wheel-turning king, Bhikshu, Bhikkhusuni, or well as whatever level of Buddhist sabbahood he may have reached. Whether the 10 dwellings and the 10 practices, the 10 dedications and 10 grounds, and all the fruits of the eternal Buddha nature, he will lose all of those levels of attainment and descend into 3 evil realms, unable to hear the word parent or triple jewel for eons. Therefore, Buddhist disciples should avoid breaking any one of these major precepts. All the Buddhist sabba should study and observe the 10 precepts which have been observed, are being observed, and will be observed by all Buddhist sabbas. The 48 secondary precepts. Then the Buddha told the Buddhist sabbas, now that I have explained the 10 major precepts, I will speak about 48 secondary precepts. Disrespect towards teachers and friends. A disciple of the Buddha who is destined to become an emperor, a wheel-turning king, or a high official should first receive the Buddhist sabba precepts. He will then be under the protection of all guardian deities. The spirit and the Buddhas will be pleased. Once he has received the precepts, a disciple should develop a mind of filial piety and respect. Whenever he meets an elder master, a monk, or a fellow cultivator of like views and like conduct, he should rise and greet him with respect. He must then respectfully make offerings to the guest monk in accord to the Dharma. He should be willing to pledge himself, his family, as well as his kingdom, cities, jewels, and other possessions. If instead he should develop conceit or arrogance, delusion or anger, refusing to rise and greet guest monks and make offerings to them respectfully in accordance to the Dharma, he commits a secondary offense on consuming alcoholic beverages. A disciple of the Buddha should not intentionally consume alcoholic beverages, as they are the source of countless offenses. If he but offers a glass of wine to another person, his retribution will be to have no hands for 500 lifetimes. How could he then consume liquor himself? Indeed, a Buddhist sabba should not encourage any person or any other sentient being to consume alcohol, much less take an alcoholic beverage himself. A disciple should not drink an alcoholic beverage whatsoever. If instead he deliberately does so or encourages others to do so, he commits a secondary offense on eating meat. A disciple of the Buddha must not deliberately eat meat. He should not eat the flesh of any sentient being. The meat eater forfeits the seed of the great compassion, severs the seed of the Buddha nature, and causes beings to avoid him. Those who do so are guilty of countless offenses. Therefore, Buddhist sabbas should not eat the flesh of any sentient being whatsoever. If instead he deliberately eats meat, he commits a secondary offense on 5 pungent herbs. A disciple of the Buddha should not eat the 5 pungent herbs, garlic, chive, leeks, onions, and asafoetida. This is so even if they are added to flavor to another main dish. Hence, if he deliberately does so, he commits a secondary offense on teaching repentance. If a disciple of the Buddha should see any beings violate the 5 precepts, the 8 precepts, the 10 precepts, other prohibitions, or commits any of the 7 cardinal sins, or any offense which leads to the 8 adversities, any violations of the precept whatsoever, he should counsel the offender to repent and reform. Hence, if a Buddhist sabba does not do so, and furthermore continues to live together in the assembly with the offender, sharing in the offerings of the laity, participate in the same Uposatha ceremony, and recite the precepts, while failing to bring up that person's offense, enjoin him to repent, the disciple commits a secondary offense, failing to request the Dharma or make offerings. If an elder master, a Mahayana monk, or fellow cultivator of like views and practice should come from far away to the temple, residence, city, or village of a disciple of the Buddha, the disciple should respectfully welcome him and see him off. He should minister to his needs at all times, though doing so may cost as much as 3 taels of gold. Moreover, the disciple of the Buddha should respectfully request the guest master to preach the Dharma 3 times a day by bowing to him without a single thought of resentment or worriness. He should be willing to sacrifice himself for the Dharma and never be lax in requesting it. If he does not act in this manner, he commits a secondary offense. Failing to attend Dharma lectures, a Buddhist-style disciple who is new to the order should take copies of the appropriate sutras or precept code to any place where such sutras, commentaries, or moral codes are being explained to listen, study, and inquire about the Dharma. He should go anywhere, be it in a house, beneath a tree, in a temple, in the forest or mountains, or elsewhere. If he fails to do so, he commits a secondary offense. On turning away from the Mahayana, if a disciple of the Buddha disavows the eternal Mahayana sutras and moral codes, declaring that they were not actually taught by the Buddha, and instead falsely observes those of the two vehicles and deludes externalists, he commits a secondary offense. On failing to care for the sick, if a disciple of the Buddha should see anyone who is sick, he should wholeheartedly provide the person with the needs just as he would for the Buddha. Of the 8 fields of blessings, looking after the sick is the most important. A Buddha's disciple should take care of his father, mother, Dharma teacher, or disciple, regardless of whether the latter are disabled or suffering from various kinds of diseases. If instead he becomes angry and resentful and fails to do so, or refuses to rescue the sick or disabled in temples, cities, towns, forests, and mountains, or along the road, he commits a secondary offense. On storing deadly weapons, a disciple of the Buddha should not store weapons such as knives, clubs, bows, arrows, spears, axes, or any other weapon, nor may he keep nets, traps, or such devices used in destroying life. As a disciple of the Buddha, he must not even avenge the death of his parents, let alone kill sentient beings. He should not store any weapons or device that can be used to kill sentient beings. If he deliberately does so, he commits a secondary offense. The first 10 secondary precepts have just been described. Disciples of the Buddha should study and respectfully observe them. On serving as the emissary. A disciple of the Buddha shall not, out of personal benefit or evil intentions, act as the country's emissary to foster military confrontation in a war causing the slaughter of the countless sentient beings. As a disciple of the Buddha, he should not be involved in the military affairs or serve as a courtier between armies, much less act as a willing catalyst for war. If he deliberately does so, he commits a secondary offense. On unlawful business undertaking, a disciple of the Buddha must not deliberately trade in slaves or sell anyone in servitude, nor should he trade in domestic animals, coffins, or wood for caskets. He cannot engage in these types of business himself, much less encourage others to do so. Otherwise, he commits a secondary offense. On slander and libel, a disciple of the Buddha must not, without cause and with evil intentions, slander virtuous people, such as elder masters, a monk or nun, kings, princes, or other upright persons, saying that they have committed the 7 cardinal sins or broken the 10 major Buddhist Dharma precepts. He should be compassionate and filial and treat all virtuous people as if they were his father, mother, sibling, or other close relative. If instead he slanders and harms them, he commits a secondary offense. On starting wildfires, a disciple of the Buddha shall not, out of evil intention, start wildfires to clear forests and burn vegetation on mountains and plains during the 4th to the 9th month of the lunar year. Such fires to people's homes, towns, and villages, temples and monasteries, fields and groves, as well as dwellings and possessions, of deities and ghosts. He may not intentionally set fire to any place where there is light. If he deliberately does so, he commits a secondary offense. Teaching non-Mahayana Dhammas. A disciple of the Buddha must teach one and all, from fellow disciples, relatives, and spiritual friends, to externalists and evil beings, how to receive and observe the Mahayana sutras and moral code. He should teach the Mahayana principles to them and help them develop the Bodhi mind, as well as the 10 dwellings, the 10 practices, and the 10 dedications, explaining the order and the functions of each of these 30 minds. If instead the disciple, with evil, hateful intentions, perversely teaches them to the sutras and moral codes of the two vehicle traditions, as well as the commentary of deluded externalists, he thereby commits a secondary offense. Unsound explanation of the Dhamma. A Bodhisattva Dhamma master must first, with a wholesome mind, study the rules of deportment, as well as sutras and moral codes of the Mahayana tradition, and understand their meaning and depth. Then, whenever novices come from afar to seek instruction, he should explain, according to the Dhamma, all the Bodhisattva renunciations, practices, such as burning one's body's arms or finger. If a novice is not prepared to follow these practices as an offering to the Buddha, he is not a Bodhisattva monk. Moreover, a Bodhisattva monk should be willing to sacrifice his body and limbs for starving beasts and hungry goats. Bodhisattva Dhamma masters should teach the novices in an orderly way to awaken their mind. If instead for personal gain he refuses to teach or teaches in a confused manner, quoting passages out of order and context, or teaches in a manner that disparages the triple jewel, he commits a secondary offense. On exacting donations. A disciple of the Buddha must not, for the sake of food, drink, money, possessions, or fame, approach and befriend kings, princes, or high officials, and exact money, goods, or other advantages, nor may he encourage others to do so. These actions are called untoward, excessive demands, and lack of passions and feel piety. Such a disciple commits a secondary offense. On serving as an inadequate master, a disciple of the Buddha should study the 12 divisions of the Dharma and recite the Bodhisattva precepts frequently. He should strictly observe these precepts in the sixth period of the day and night and fully understand their meaning and principles, as well as the essence of the Buddha nature. If instead the disciple of the Buddha fails to understand even a sentence or a verse of the moral code, or the causes and condition related to the precepts, but pretends to understand them, he is deceiving both himself and others. A disciple who understands nothing of the Dhamma yet acts as a teacher transmitting the precepts commits a secondary offense. On double-tongued speech, a disciple of the Buddha must not, with malicious intent, gossip or spread rumors and slander, create discord and disdain for virtuous people, disparaging a monk who observes the Bodhisattva precepts as he holding an incense burner to his forehead. A disciple of the Buddha who so commits a secondary offense. Failure to liberate sentient beings. A disciple of the Buddha should have a mind of compassion and cultivate practices of liberating sentient beings. He must reflect thus throughout the eons of time. All male sentient beings have been my father. All female sentient beings have been my mother. I was born of them. If I now slaughter them, I will be slaughtering my parents, as well as eating flesh that was once my own. This is so because all elemental earth, water, fire, and air, the four constituents of all life, have previously been part of my body, part of my substance. I must therefore always cultivate the practice of liberating sentient beings. And enjoin others to do so likewise. As sentient beings are forever reborn again and again, lifetime after lifetime, if the Bodhisattva sees an animal on the verge of being killed, he must devise a way to rescue and protect it, helping it to escape suffering from death. The disciple should always teach the Bodhisattva precepts to rescue and deliver sentient beings. On the day his father, mother, and siblings die, he should invite Dharma masters to explain the Bodhisattva sutras and precepts. This will generate merits and virtues and help the deceased either to achieve rebirth in the pure lands and meet the Buddhas, or to secure rebirth in the human or celestial realms. If instead a disciple fails to do so, he commits a secondary offense. On violence and vengefulness. A disciple of the Buddha must not return anger for anger, blow for blow. He should not seek revenge even if his father, mother, sibling, or close relatives are killed, nor should he do so if the ruler or king of his country is murdered. To take the life of one being in order to avenge the killing of another is contrary to filial piety. Furthermore, he should not keep others in servitude, much less beat or abuse them, creating evil karma of mind, speech, and body day after day, particularly the offense of speech. How much less should he deliberate commit the seven cardinal sins? Therefore, if a Buddhist-style monk lacks compassion and deliberately seeks revenge, even for the injustice done to his close relatives, he commits a secondary offense. Arrogance and failure to request Dharma. A disciple of the Buddha who has only recently left home and is still a novice in the Dharma should not be conceited. He must not refuse instructions on the sutra and moral codes of the Dharma master on according to his own intelligence, worldly learning, high position, according age, noble lineage, vast understanding, great merits, extensive wealth and possessions, etc. Although these masters may be of a humble birth, young in age, poor or suffering physical disabilities, they may still have genuine virtues and deep understanding of sutras and moral codes. The novice Buddhist sadhus should not judge Dharma masters on the basis of their family background and refuse to seek instructions of the Mahayana truth from them. If he does so, he commits a secondary offense. On teaching the Dharma grudgingly. After my passing, if a disciple should, without a wholesome mind, wish to receive the Buddhist Dharma precepts, he may make a vow to do so before the image of the Buddhas and Buddhist Dharmas and practice repentance before these images for 7 days. If he then experiences a vision, he has received the precepts. If he does not, he should continue doing so for 14 days, 21 days, or even a whole year, seeking to witness an auspicious sign. After witnessing his sign, he could, in front of an image of the Buddhas and Buddhist sadhus, firmly receive the precepts. If he has not witnessed such a sign, although he may have accepted the precepts before the Buddha image, he is not actually receiving the precepts. However, the witnessing of the auspicious signs is not necessary if the disciple receives the precepts directly from the Dharma master who has himself received the precepts. Why is this so? It is because this is a case of transmission from master to master, and therefore all that is required is a mind of utter sincerity and respect of the part of the disciple. If within a radius of some 350 miles, the disciple cannot find a master capable of conferring the Buddhist Dharma precepts, he may seek to receive them in front of Buddha or Buddhist Dharma images. However, he must witness an auspicious sign. If the Dharma master, on account of the extensive knowledge of sutras and Mahayana moral codes, as well as close relationships to the kings, princes, and high officials, refuses to give appropriate answers to student Buddhist Dharma seeking the meaning of sutras and moral codes, or does so grudgingly, with resentment and arrogance, he commits a secondary offense. Failure to practice Mahayana teachings. If a disciple of the Buddha fails to study Mahayana sutras and moral codes assiduously and cultivate correct views, correct nature, and correct Dharma body, it is like abandoning the seven precious jewels for worldly texts and the two vehicles of the externalist commentaries. To do so is to create the cause and conditions that obstruct the path to enlightenment and cut himself off from the Buddha nature. It is a failure to follow the Buddhist-style path. If a disciple intentionally acts in such a manner, he commits a secondary offense. Unskilled leadership of the assembly. After my passing, if a disciple should sever as an abbot, elder Dharma master, precept master, meditation master, or guest prefect, he must develop a compassionate mind and peacefully settle differences within the assembly. skillfully administering the resources of the three jewels, spending frugally and not treating them as his own property. If instead he were to create disorder, provoke quarrels and disputes, or squander the resources of the assembly, he would commit a secondary offense. Accepting personal offerings. Once a disciple of the Buddha has settled down in a temple, if visiting Bodhisattva Bhikkhus should arrive at the temple precincts, the guest quarters established by the king or even the Sumer retreat quarters, or the quarter of the great assembly, the disciple should welcome the visiting monks and see them off. He should provide them with such essentials as food and drink, a house to live, bed, chairs, and the like. If the host does not have the necessary means, he should be willing to pawn himself or cut off and sell his own flesh. Whenever there are meals, offerings, and ceremonies at the layman's home, visiting monks should be given a fair share of the offerings. The abbot should send the monks, whether resident or guest, to the donor's place in turn. If only resident monks are allowed to accept invitations and not visiting monks, the abbot is committing a grievous offense and is behaving no different than an animal. He is unworthy of being a monk or a son of the Buddha and is guilty of a secondary offense. Accepting discriminatory invitation. A disciple of the Buddha must not accept personal invitation or appropriate the offerings for himself. Such offerings rightly belong to the Sangha, the whole community of the monks and nuns of the Ten Directions. To accept personal offerings is to steal the possessions of the Sangha and the Ten Directions, and it is tantamount to stealing what belongs to the eight fields of blessings: Buddha, sages, dharmas, master, precept, monks, or nuns, mothers, fathers, the sick. Such a disciple commits a secondary offense. Issuing discriminatory invitations. A disciple of the Buddha, be he a Bodhisattva monk, lay Bodhisattva, or other donor, should be inviting monks or nuns to conduct a prayer session. Come to the temple and inform the monk in charge. The monk will then tell him, inviting members of the Sangha according to the proper order is tantamount to inviting the arts of the Ten Directions. To offer a discriminatory special invitation to such a worthy group as 500 arhats or Bodhisattva monks will not generate as much merit as inviting one ordinary monk if it is his turn. There is no provision in the teachings of the seven Buddhas for discriminatory invitations. To do so is to follow external practices and to conduct filial piety. If a disciple deliberately issues a discriminatory invitation, he commits a secondary offense. On proper livelihood. A disciple of the Buddha should not, for the sake of gain or with evil intentions, engage in the business of prostitution, selling the wiles and charms of men and women. He must also not cook for himself, milling and pounding grain. Neither may he act as a fortune teller, predicting the gender of children, reading dreams, and the like. Nor shall he practice sincerity, work as a trainer of falcons or hunting dogs, nor make a living concocting hundreds and thousands of poisons from deadly snakes, insects, or from gold and silver. Such occupations lack mercy, compassion, and filial piety. Therefore, if a Bodhisattva intentionally engages in these occupations, he commits a secondary offense. On handling business affairs for the laity. A disciple of the Buddha must not, with evil intention, slander the triple jewel while pretending to be their close adherent, preaching the truth of emptiness while his actions are the realms of existence. Furthermore, he must not handle worldly affairs for the laity, acting as a go-between or matchmaker, creating the karma of attachment. Moreover, during the 6 days of fasting each month, the 3 months of fasting each year, disciples should strictly observe all precepts, particularly against killing, stealing, and the rules against breaking the fast. Otherwise, the disciple commits a secondary offense. Rescuing cleric along the sacred objects. After my passing in the evil periods, that will follow. There will be external as evil persons, thieves and robbers, who steal and sell statues and paintings of Buddha, Bodhisattvas and their parents. They may even peddle copies of sutras and law codes, or sell monks, nuns, or those who follow the Bodhisattva path, or have developed the Bodhi mind, to sever as retainers or servants to official and others. A disciple of the Buddha, upon witnessing such pitiful events, must develop a mind of compassion and find ways to rescue and protect all persons, and valuable raising funds wherever he can for this purpose. If a Bodhisattva does not act in this manner, he commits a secondary offense on harming sentient beings. A disciple of the Buddha must not sell knives, clubs, bows, arrows, other life-taking devices, nor keep altered scales or measuring devices. He should not abuse his governmental position to confiscate people's possessions, nor should he, with malice at heart, restrain or imprison others or sabotage their success. In addition, he should not raise cats, dogs, foxes, pigs, and other such animals. If he intentionally does such thing, he commits a secondary offense. On washing and proper activities, the disciple of the Buddha must not, with evil intention, watch people fighting or the battling of armies, rebels, gangs, and the like. He should not listen to the sounds of conch shells, drums, horns, guitars, flutes, songs, or other music, nor should he be party to any form of gambling, whether dice, checkers, or the like. Furthermore, he should not practice fortune-telling or divination, nor should he be an accomplice to thieves and bandits. He must not participate in any of these activities. If instead he intentionally does so, he commits a secondary offense. Temporary abandoning of the Bodhi mind. A disciple of the Buddha should observe the Bodhisattva precepts every day, whether walking, standing, reclining, or seated, reading and reciting them day and night. He should be resolute in keeping the precepts, as strong as the diamond and desperate as the shipwrecked person, clinging to a small log while attempting to cross the ocean, or as principled as the bhikkhu bound by reeds. Furthermore, he should always have a wholesome faith in the teachings of the Mahayana, conscious that the sentient beings are Buddha to be. While the Buddhas are realized Buddhas, he should develop the Bodhi mind and maintain it in each and every thought without retrogression. If a Bodhisattva has but a single thought in the direction of the two vehicles or externalist teaching, he commits a secondary offense. Failure to make great vows. A Bodhisattva must make many great vows to be filial to his parents and Dhamma teachers, to meet good spiritual advisors, friends, and colleagues who will keep teaching him the Mahayana sutras and moral codes, as well as stages of Bodhisattva practice. He should further vow to understand these teachings clearly so that he can practice according to the Dharma while resolutely keeping the precepts of the Buddha. If necessary, he should lay down his life rather than abandon this resolve for even a single moment. If a Bodhisattva does not make such vows, he commits a secondary offense. Fail to make a resolution. Once a Bodhisattva has made these great vows, he should strictly keep the precepts of the Buddha and follow and make the following resolutions. 1. I would rather jump into the raging blaze, a deep abyss, or into the mountain of knives than engage in impure acts with any woman, thus violating the sutras and moral codes of the Buddha of the three periods of time. 2. I would rather wrap myself 1,000 times with a red-hot iron net than let this body, should it break the precepts, wear clothing provided by the faithful. I would rather swallow red-hot iron pellets and drink molten iron for hundreds and thousands of eons than let this mouth, should it break the precepts, consume food and drink provided by the faithful. I would rather lie on a bonfire or the burning iron net than let this body, should it break the precepts, rest on bedding, blankets, or mats supplied by the faithful. I would rather be impaled for eons of hundreds of spears than let this body, should it break the precepts, receive medication from the faithful. I would rather jump into a cauldron of boiling oil and roast for hundreds and thousands of eons than let this body, should it break the precepts, receive shelter, grants, gardens, or fields from the faithful. 3. I would rather be pulverized from head to toe by an iron sledgehammer than let this body, should it break the precepts, accept respect and reverence from the faithful. 4. I would rather have both eyes blinded by hundreds of thousands of swords and spears rather than break the precepts by looking at beautiful forms. 5. I further vow that all sentient beings will achieve Buddhahood. If a disciple of the Buddha does not make the preceding great resolution, he commits a secondary offense. Traveling the dangerous areas. A disciple of the Buddha should engage in ascetic practices twice each year. He should sit in meditation winter and summer and observe the summer retreat. During those periods, he should always carry 18 essentials such as a willow branch, ash water, the traditional 3 clerical robes, and incense burner, a begging bowl, a sitting mat, a water filter, bedding, copies of sutras and moral codes, as well as statues of Buddha and Buddha sops. When practicing austerities and when traveling, be it for 30 miles or 300 miles, a cleric should always have the 18 essentials with them. The 2 periods of austerity are from the 15th to the 1st lunar month to the 15th of the 3rd month, from the 15th of the 8th lunar month to the 15th of the 10th month. During the period of the austerities, he requires these 18 essentials just as a bird needs its 2 wings. Twice each month, the novice Buddhasattva should attend the Aposatha ceremony and recite the 10 major and 48 secondary precepts. Such recitation should be done before images of Buddha and Buddhasattvas. If only one person attends the ceremony, then he should do the reciting. If 2, 3, or even hundreds of thousands attend the ceremony, still only one person should recite. Everyone else should listen in silence. The one reciting should sit on a higher level than the audience, and everyone should be dressed in a clerical robes. During the summer retreat, each and every activity should be managed in accordance with the Dharma. When practicing the austerities, the Buddhist disciples should avoid dangerous areas, unstable kingdoms, countries ruled by evil kings, precipitation terrains, remote wilderness regions inhabited by bandits, thieves, or lions, tigers, wolves, poisonous snakes, or areas subject to hurricanes, floods, and fires. The disciples should avoid all such dangerous areas when participating in the austerities and also when observing the summer retreat, otherwise he commits a secondary offense. Order of seating within the assembly. A disciple of the Buddha should sit in proper order within the assembly. Those who receive the Buddhasattva precept first, sit first. Those who receive the precepts afterwards should sit behind, whether old or young, a bhikkhu or bhikkhuni, a person of statues, a king, a prince, a eunuch, or a servant, etc. Each should sit according to the order in which he received the precepts. Disciples of the Buddha should not be like externalists or deluded people who base their order on age or sit within any order at all in barbarian fashion. In my Dharma, the order of sitting is based on seniority of ordination. Therefore, if a Buddhasattva does not follow the order of sitting according to the Dharma, he commits a secondary offense. Failure to cultivate merits and wisdom. A disciple of the Buddha should consistently counsel and teach all people to establish monasteries, temples and pagodas, in mountains and forests, gardens and fields. He should also construct stupas for the Buddha and buildings for the winter and summer retreats. All facilities required for the practice of the Dharma should be established. Moreover, a disciple of the Buddha should explain Mahayana sutras and the Buddhasattva precepts to all sentient beings. In times of sickness, national calamities, impending warfare, and upon the death of one's parents, brothers and sisters, Dharma masters, and precept masters, a Buddhasattva should lecture and explain Mahayana sutra and the Buddhasattva precepts weekly for up to 7 weeks. The disciple should read, recite, and explain the Mahayana Sutras and the Buddha Sava precepts in all prayer gatherings in his business, undertaking the enduring periods of calamity, fire, flood, storm, ship loss at sea, and turbulent water or stars by demons. In the same vein, he should do so in order to transcend evil karma in three evil realms, the eight difficulties and seven cardinal sins, all forms of imprisonment and excessive sexual desire, anger, delusion, and illness. If a novice Bodhisattva fails to act as indicated, he commits a secondary offense. Discrimination in conferring the precepts. A disciple of the Buddha should not, by selective and show preference in conferring the Bodhisattva precepts. Each and every person can receive the precept. Kings, princes, high officials, bhikkhus, bhikkhusini, laymen, laywomen, libertines, prostitutes, the god of the 18 Brahma heaven or six desire heavens, asexual persons, bisexual persons, eunuchs, slaves, or demons, and ghosts of all types. Buddhist disciples should be instructed to wear robes and sleep on clothes of a neutral color formed by blending blue, yellow, red, black, and purple dyes altogether. The clothing of monks and nuns should, in all countries, be different from those worn by ordinary citizens. Before someone is allowed to receive the Bodhisattva precepts, he should be asked, have you committed any of the cardinal sins? The precept master should not allow those who have committed such sins to receive the precepts. Here are the seven cardinal sins: shedding Buddha's blood, murdering the Arhat, killing the father, killing one's father, killing one's mother, murdering the Dharma teacher, murdering the precept master, or disrupting the harmony of Sangha. Except for those who have committed the cardinal sins, everyone can receive the Bodhisattva precepts. The Dharma rules of the Buddhist order prohibit monks and nuns from bowing down before rulers, parents, relatives, demons, and ghosts. Anyone who understands the explanation of the precept master can receive the Bodhisattva precepts. Therefore, if a person were to come from 30 to 300 miles away seeking the Dharma, and the precept master, out of meanness and anger, does not promptly confer these precepts, he commits a secondary offense. Teaching for the sake of profit. If a disciple of the Buddha were teaching others to develop their faith in Mahayana, should discover that a particular person wishes to receive the Bodhisattva precepts, he should act as a teaching master and instruct the person to seek out two masters, a Dharma master and a precept master. These two masters should ask the precept candidate whether he has committed any of the seven cardinal sins in his life. If he has, he cannot receive the precepts. If not, he may receive the precepts. If he has broken any of the 10 major precepts, he should be instructed to repent before the statue of the Buddha and the Bodhisattva. He should do so 6 times a day and recite the 10 major and 48 minor precepts, paying respect with utter sincerity to the Buddhas of the three period of time. He should continue in this manner until he receives an auspicious response, which could occur after 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, or even a year. Examples of auspicious signs include experiencing the Buddhas rub the crowns of one head, or seeing lights, halos, flowers, and other such rare phenomena. The witness of all auspicious signs indicates that the candidate's karma has been dissipated. Otherwise, although he has repented, it was of no avail. He still has not received the precepts. However, the merits accrued will increase these chances of receiving the precepts in a future lifetime. Unlike the case of the major Bodhisattva precepts, if a candidate has violated any of the 48 secondary precepts, he can confess his infractions and sincerely repent before Bodhisattva monks or nuns. After that, this offense will be eradicated. The officiating master, however, must fully understand the Mahayana Sutras and moral codes, secondary as well as the major Bodhisattva precepts, with what constitutes an offense and what does not, the truth of the primary meaning, as well as the various Bodhisattva cultivation stages, the 10 dwellings, the 10 practices, the 10 dedications, the 10 grounds, and equal and wonderful enlightenment. He should also know the type and degree of the contemplation required for entering and existing these stages, and be familiar with the 10 limbs of enlightenment as well as the variety of each contemplation. If he is not familiar with the above and out of greed for fame, disciples of, or offerings, he makes a pretense and understands the sutra and moral codes. He is deciding, deceiving himself as well as others. Hence, if he intentionally acts as a precept master, transmitting the precepts to others, he commits secondary offense. Recruiting the precepts to evil persons. A disciple of the Buddha should not, with a greedy motive, expound the great precepts of the Buddha before those who have not received them, externalists and persons of heterodox views. Except in the case of kings or supreme rulers, he may not expound the precepts before any such person. Persons who hold heterodox views and do not accept the precepts of the Buddha are untamed in nature. They will not, lifetime after lifetime, encounter the triple jewel. They are mindless as trees and stones. They are no different from wooden stumps. Hence, if a disciple of the Buddha expounds the precepts of the 7 Buddhas before such persons, he commits secondary offense. Thoughts of violation of violating the precepts. If a disciple of the Buddha joins the order out of pure faith, receives the correct precepts of the Buddha, but then develops thoughts of violating the precepts, he is unworthy of receiving any offers from the faithful, unworthy of walking on the ground of his motherland, unworthy of drinking its water, for thousands guardians, spirits consent, block his way, call him evil thief. These spirits always follow him into people's homes, villages, and towns, sweeping away his every footprint. Everyone curses such a disciple, calling him the thief within the Dharma. All sentient beings avert their eyes, not wishing to see him. A disciple of the Buddha who breaks the precepts is no different from an animal or wooden stump. Hence, if a disciple intentionally violates the correct precepts, he commits a secondary offense. Failure to honor the sutras and moral codes. A disciple of the Buddha should always single-mindedly receive, observe, read, and recite the Mahayana sutras and moral codes. He should copy the sutras and moral codes onto bark, paper, fine cloth, or bamboo slats, and not hesitate to use his own skin as paper, draw his own blood for ink, and his marrow for ink solvent, or split his bones for use of pens. He should use precious gems, priceless incense and flowers, and other precious things to make the adorned covers and cases to store the sutras and codes. Hence, if he does not make offerings to the sutras and moral codes in accordance with the Dharma, he commits a secondary offense. Failure to teach sentient beings. A disciple of the Buddha should develop a mind of great passion. Wherever he enters people's homes, village cities, or towns, or sees sentient beings, he says aloud, "You sentient beings should all take the 3 refuge and receive the 10 precepts. Should he come across cows, pigs, horses, sheep, and other kinds of animals, he should concentrate and say aloud, You are now animals. You should develop the Bodhi mind, a Buddhist sabo wherever he goes, be it climbing a mountain, entering a forest, crossing a river, or walking through a field, should help all sentient beings develop the Bodhi mind. If a disciple of the Buddha does not wholeheartedly teach the rescue sentient beings in such a manner, he commits a secondary offense. Preaching in an inappropriate manner. A disciple of the Buddha should always have a mind of great compassion to teach and transform sentient beings, whether visiting wealthy and aristocratic donors or addressing Dharma gatherings. He should not remain standing while explaining the Dharma to laymen, but should occupy a raised seat in front of the lay assembly and distribution of sutras and codes. Likewise, he must not establish rules and regulations placing controls on the fourfold assembly. If highly placed lay disciples engage in actions contrary to the Dharma, they are no different from vassals in the service or rulers. A Bodhisattva should rightfully receive respect and offerings from all. If instead he is forced to defer to officials, this is contrary to the Dharma, contrary to the moral code. Hence, if a king or official has received the Buddha's Sangha precept with a whole mind, he should avoid offenses that harm the three jewels. If instead he intentionally commits such acts, he is guilty of a secondary offense and destroying the Dharma. A disciple of the Buddha who becomes a monk with wholesome intentions must not, for fame or profit, explain the precepts to kings or officials in such a way to cause monks, nuns, or laymen who have received the Buddha's Sangha precepts to be tied up, thrown into prison, or forcibly conscripted. If a Buddha Sangha acts in such a manner, he is no different from a worm in a lion's body eating away at the lion's flesh. This is not something a worm living outside the lion can do. Likewise, other only disciples of the Buddha can bring down the Dharma. Not externals or demons can do so. Those who have received the precepts of the Buddha should protect and observe them, just as a mother would for her only child or a filial son of his parents. This must not break the precepts. If a Buddha Sangha hears externalists of evil-minded persons speak ill or disparage the precepts of the Buddha, he should feel as though his heart was pierced with 300 spears, or his body stabbed with 1,000 knives, or thrashed with 1,000 clubs. He would rather suffer in the hells himself for 100 eons than hear evil being despaired and precepts of the Buddha. How much worse it would be if the disciples were to break the precepts himself or incite others to do so. This is indeed an unfilial mind. Hence, if he violates the precepts intentionally, he commits a secondary offense. Conclusion. The Buddha said, all of you disciples, there are 48 secondary precepts that you should observe. Buddhistavas of the past have recited them. Those of the future will recite them. Those of the present are now reciting them. Disciples of the Buddha, you should all listen. These 10 major and 48 secondary precepts are recited by all the Buddhas of the third periods of time, past, present, and future. I now recite them as well. Epilogue. The Buddha continued, everyone in the assembly, kings, princes, official bhikkhus, bhissunis, laymen, laywomen, and those who have received the Buddha's Sangha precepts should receive and observe, read, and recite. Explain the copies of these precepts of the eternal Buddha nature so that they can circulate without interruption for the edification of all sentient beings. They will then encounter the Buddhas and receive the teachings from each one in succession. Lifetime after lifetime, they will escape the three evil paths and eight difficulties and will also be reborn in the human and celestial realm. If concluded a general explanation of the precepts of the Buddha beneath the Bodhi tree, all in this assembly should single-mindedly study the precepts and joyfully observe them. At that time, the Buddhistava of the 3,000 world system sat listening with utmost reverence to the Buddha, reciting the precepts. They then joyously received and observed them. As Buddha Sakyamuni finished explaining the 10 inexhaustible precepts of the Mind Ground Dharma Door chapter, countless other Sakyamuni Buddhas did the same. As Sakyamuni Buddha preached in the 10 places from the Mahasabra heaven places to the Bodhi tree for the benefit of countless Buddhistavas and other beings, all the countless Buddhas in the infinite land of the Lotless Treasure World did the same. They explained the Buddha's mind treasury, ground treasury, precept treasury, infinite actions, and vow treasury, the treasury of ever-present Buddha nature as cause and effect of Buddhahood. Thus, all Buddhas completed their exposures and the countless Dharma treasuries, all sentient beings throughout the billions of worlds gladly receive and observe these teachings. Verses of praise. The sage of the great samadhi and wisdom can observe this teaching. Even before reaching Buddhahood, they are blessed with five benefits. First, the Buddha of the 10 directions. Always keep in mind and protect them. Secondly, at that time of death, they hold correct views with a joyous mind. Third, wherever they are reborn, the Buddhistavas are all friends. Four merits and virtues abound as the paramita of precepts is accomplished. Fifth is the life in the succeeding ones, observing all precepts. They are filled with merits and wisdom. Such disciples are sons of the Buddha. Wise people should ponder this well. Common beings clinging to remarks and self cannot obtain this teaching. Nor can following of the two vehicles abide in the quietude, plant their seeds within it, to nature the sprouts of Bodhi, to illuminate the world with wisdom. You should carefully observe the true marks of all dharmas, neither born nor unborn, neither external nor extinct, neither the same nor different, neither coming nor going. Is a single-minded state, the disciple should diligently cultivate and adorn the Buddhist Dhamma's practice and deeds in sequential order. Between the teachings of the study and the non-study, one should not develop thoughts of discrimination. This is the foremost path, also known as the Mahayana. All offenses of idle speculation and meaningless debate invariably disappear as the juncture. The Buddha's omniscient wisdom also arises from this. Therefore, all disciples of the Buddha should develop great resolve and strictly observe the Buddha's precepts as though they were brilliant gems. All Buddhist dhammas of the past have studied these precepts. Those of the future will also study them. Those of the present study them as well. This is the path walked by Buddha, the Buddhas, and praised by the Buddhas. I have now finished explaining the precepts, the body of immense merit and virtues. I now transfer them to all sentient beings. Verse of dedication. In the lotus treasury world, where Kana explained an infinitesimal part of the mind ground floor door, transmitting its Sakyamunis, major and minor precepts are clearly delineated. All sentient beings receive immense benefits. Gatha, all celestial titans and spirits who have come to hear the Dharma should earnestly uphold it, that is, may remain forever, and everyone may practice it with diligence. All who have come to hear to listen, whether on the earth or beyond, should rely on the true Dharma, practicing day and night with compassion towards all beings, also rescuing and protecting them. We wish that the world may be forever calm and peaceful, and the infinite wisdom of the Dharma also benefit sentient beings. May all their discretion be erased. May they escape suffering and enter nirvana. May the precepts always perfume their bodies. May samadhi always clothe their forms. May the flower of wisdom adorn all lands. May all realms always be peaceful and serene. Homage to the Dharma protecting Buddhasattva Mahasattva. As instructed, I have just finished reciting the precepts. If, because of my laxity in guarding the three karmas of body, speech, and mind, there were errors or omissions, I humbly request the indulgence of the assembly. The Parinaparinita Heart Sutra. Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, doing deep Parinaparinita clearly, saw emptiness of all the five conditions, thus completely relieving misfortune and pain, or Satyabhuti form in no others than emptiness, emptiness no other than form, form is exactly emptiness, emptiness exactly form. Sensation, conception, discrimination, awareness are likewise like this. O Satyabhuti, all dharmas are form of emptiness, not born, not destroyed, not stained, not pure, without loss, without gain. So in emptiness there is no form, no sensation, conception, discrimination, awareness, no eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, no colors, sound, smell, taste, touch, phenomena, no realm of sight, no realm of conscience, no ignorance and no end to ignorance, no old age and death, and no end to old age and death, no suffering, no cause of suffering, no extinguishing, no path, no wisdom and no gain, and thus Buddhasattva lives Parinaparinita with no hindrance in the mind, no hindrance, therefore no fear, far beyond deluded thoughts, this is nirvana. All past, present, and future Buddhas live Parinaparinita, and therefore attain Arunachala Samiha Sambuddhi. Therefore, no Parinaparinita is great mantra. the vivid mantra, the best mantra, the unsurpassable mantra. It completely clears all pain. This is the truth, not a lie. So step forth the para, pari, mita mantra. Step forth this mantra and say, gate, gate, pari, gate, pari, mas, gate, bodhisattva. Listen to these precepts in an act of supreme virtue. I dedicate these countless supreme virtues and merits to all sentient beings in the Dharma realm, vowing that they may swiftly achieve rebirth in the land of the Buddha of limitless light. I vow to eradicate all obstruction and affliction. I vow to attain supreme enlightenment. I vow to eradicate all delusive karma. Thus will I allow always follow the Bodhisattva path. I vow to be reborn in the Western Pure Land. The nine lotus grades will be my parents. When the blossom opens, I will see Amitabha Buddha and awaken to the truth of the non-birth, non-retrogression Bodhisattva will be my friend. I dedicate these merits and virtues to everyone everywhere so that all sentient beings and I achieve Buddhahood together. Three refugees. I take refuge in the Buddha, vowing that all sentient beings may understand the great ways and develop the supreme mind. I take refuge in the Dharma, vowing that all sentient beings may penetrate all the sutras with wisdom and profound as the ocean. I take refuge in the Sangha, vowing that all sentient beings be in harmony with the great assembly, free of all obstructions.